Right. Good evening, everybody. We haven't got a crowd, but we've got us, and we've got God. And what more could we ask for? This evening, I've just got a reading that's just one verse, and it's from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And that reads, "That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day." This text is from what are called the prison epistles. They call that because the Apostle Paul wrote them while he was in prison in Rome, a prisoner of the Emperor Nero, who was one of the cruelest of all the Roman rulers. This second letter to Timothy may well be one of the very last letters that Paul wrote. He's in prison for the Christian faith, and he knows he's almost certain to be executed at any moment. But yet, he writes this letter of encouragement to Timothy, who has charge of the church in Ephesus. And Timothy appears to be a young man who is rather timid and quiet, and who's overwhelmed by the task that Paul has given him. Paul first encourages Timothy by assuring him that he's praying for him day and night. He then reminds Timothy of his rich Christian heritage, both in his grandmother and in his mother. And he reminds him that Paul himself laid hands on him and that he received the power of the Holy Spirit. So he assures him that he's very well equipped for the job that he has to do, and he should boldly declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and be a shining beacon in Ephesus for his Lord. Paul also continues to encourage Timothy from his own experience. Without doubt, Timothy knew of all the hardship that Paul had endured for the gospel, but Timothy was not to allow that to discourage him. Instead, he should rejoice that God has provided all the grace needed to live the Christian life and to do all that he'd been called to do. And Paul then makes that wonderful statement that's our text this evening. "Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." In effect, he says, "I know that I'm suffering, but so what? It doesn't affect my witness and my testimony one little bit. And why not? Because I know this Jesus in whom I have believed, and I know that he will keep that which I have entrusted to him." I just want us to look at what it is that gives Paul such confidence to face whatever life throws at him. And it's very important for us Christians at a time like this. It's a time when our normal life has been greatly challenged by the coronavirus pandemic. It's a time when we've been subject to more restrictions than most of us have ever experienced before. And the great problem that is raised here is how to live in a victorious manner, how to face life with all of its uncertainties and problems, how to triumph and overcome. In other words, how to master life instead of being mastered by life, how to be proactive instead of being reactive. But Paul emphasizes that it's only through the gospel that this can be done. If we want to master life, then we need to know the true nature of the gospel. There are many philosophies around today. There are many so-called ways to enlightenment. There are many approaches to tackle the difficulties of life. But the bottom line in each case is, do they work? Do they help in the daily struggle? Do they do what they claim? Do they work against every conceivable eventuality? The claim that we make for the Christian gospel is that it does work, and it really does do what it claims to do, and that it enables us to live in a real sense in this world. But we can go even further in our claim for the gospel, in that we say that it, and it alone, does that. The gospel claims that it's unique, that there's nothing else, anything like it. That claim is made right through the Bible, through the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The uniqueness of the gospel is the cornerstone of Christian belief. And if ever the church stops believing in this uniqueness, then it might as well shut up shop and quietly disappear into oblivion. The claim is also made by Paul in Acts 4, verse 12, where he says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." There is only one Saviour. There is only one salvation. There is only one teaching that enables us to meet every possible event in this life and in this world. And Paul makes the claim again in our text this evening in the light of his own experience. Young Timothy is going through a bad patch. He's somewhat depressed and unhappy, and Paul hears of his state and sends him this little letter of encouragement. Timothy appears to be a young man who was very easily discouraged and depressed. And there are plenty of people like that, those who turn every event into a crisis and look for and expect the worst in every situation. We're all different, and we must recognise that. And the gospel certainly recognises that we're all different by nature. Timothy, a natural depressive sort of person, appears to be particularly concerned that Paul is a prisoner on death row. And as we look at this evening's text, we mustn't forget Paul's situation. Paul is writing to Timothy not from the comfort of a nice house with a secure job, in a position of ease and safety. On the contrary, he's in terrible conditions. A lot of his friends have deserted him, he faces death at any moment, and he's in a bare, cold prison cell. Yet he makes this tremendous statement, "Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know in whom I've believed, and I'm convinced he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day." That's no whimper of self-pity. It's a tremendous note of triumph, a note of overcoming, in spite of the appalling circumstances. He tells it as it is. He says, "I'm appointed as a preacher, an apostle, as a teacher of the Gentiles, and that's why I'm suffering as I am. I'm in prison facing death simply because I'm a preacher. If I didn't preach the gospel, then I wouldn't be here. But despite the terrible situation, I am not ashamed." And that's not an isolated reaction of Paul to the difficulties of life. We see similar types of statement in Romans 5, verse 2 and 3. "Through whom we have gained access by faith in this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance." And this is the test that we should put to any view that we have of life, any philosophy for living in this modern world. Can you honestly face any situation the world may throw at you, any situation, and say, "So what?" The last year or so of the restrictions and uncertainties of the pandemic have certainly been very challenging. Are you able to look at your circumstances and conditions when they're at the blackest and say, "Yeah, things are bad, but nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that to which I've committed to him until that day"? That's the secret of Christianity. It enables us to face anything and everything, knowing that we will survive it. And what is this secret that enabled Paul to face everything with such certainty? And what could enable us to do the same? Well, some might say it was Paul's nature that caused this reaction to him. He was a supreme optimist. But what we know about Paul doesn't suggest that. He was a very sensitive man who could get easily depressed. He tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5, "For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, for we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within." And he himself said when he went into Corinth, "We came in with much fear and trembling." He was a man who could experience fear and doubt and depression. But he doesn't write to Timothy as he does because he's a born optimist. It's because not his natural temperament that makes him declare this great text to Timothy. We thank God that it doesn't depend upon our natural temperament for what we are, because we are all different. If the gospel is not the answer to every single one of us, no matter what sort of person we are, then it's no gospel at all. But the wonder of the gospel, it's the wonder of the gospel that we can take anyone of any temperament and make them able to declare this wonderful statement, no matter what situation I'm in, I am not ashamed. And that's what the gospel is. It's a complete view of life that covers any eventuality. Not just a matter of ethics and conduct and morality and behaviour. There are so many who think that that's what it is. They still think that a Christian is one who lives a good life and doesn't do certain things and tries to do certain other things. But that view is wrong. That's not Christianity. I'm sure that we've all known very moral people who are totally miserable and who have nothing to sustain them when they come face to face with death and the end. However, Christianity is a total view that allows us to view life and death and all things and to do it triumphantly. But the gospel doesn't act automatically without our doing anything about it. The gospel works when we think about it and when we apply it to our lives. The trouble with Timothy was that he'd forgotten what he'd been told. He was not applying that he'd received from Paul. He was allowing himself to go down with depression because he'd allowed the gift that was in him to become dormant. Paul has to remind him that he's seen the truth of the gospel worked out in his mother and his grandmother, and he needs to apply it to himself. He needs to stir up that gift within him. Stir it up, for it doesn't work automatically. There's a definite need for each one of us to stir up that which is in us. And we too must appreciate that the gospel has no comfort or consolation for us apart from our belief in its truth. That's a vital and key principle. The gospel does not give comfort, consolation, or courage without belief. So many people, in times of trouble or crisis, when all that they've built their lives upon suddenly collapses, they turn to Christianity, to the Christian church, for comfort and consolation. But I'm afraid they'll never get it. There will never be comfort and consolation unless and until there is belief in the gospel. You cannot have Christian comfort unless you become a Christian. And this is the trouble. So many people try to get the benefits of Christianity without becoming a Christian. And it can't be done. The benefits are a byproduct. The essential thing is belief in faith. So why is Paul not ashamed? Why can he face all the things he's facing? He told us very straight and very clear. I'm not ashamed because I know whom I've believed and convinced he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him for the day. That's why he writes to Timothy as he does. He doesn't just say, oh, pull yourself together, lad, stiff up a lick and all that. He knows that wouldn't do any good with Timothy. There's only one way that Timothy can be put right, and that's by reminding him of the whole gospel. He's got to come back to the centre of the faith, and then everything will be all right. But not until then. Look at what Paul tells him in verses 13 to 14. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. What's this sound teaching that Paul gave Timothy? It's there in chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. And that's the message from all of us. Come back to total belief in all that you've been taught, and then you'll receive the benefits of the Christian life. And there may be some who have not yet made that total commitment to the gospel that's essential to become a Christian. Maybe they've accepted a part of it, Maybe they've given some of themselves to it. But unless and until you have given all of yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not a Christian, and you'll have to face life and all it throws at you with your own resources. You can't rely upon the experience of someone else. You can't be nearly a Christian. It has to be a personal and genuine commitment by you yourself. And it's no good relying on the fact that you have Christian parents or relatives. No good trying to take on board the experiences of friends or acquaintances. You have to do it yourself. Or maybe you are a Christian and you've made that total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. But still life seems so hard and so difficult to face each day. Are you like Timothy? Have you forgotten what you were taught? Remember how it was when you were first saved and recapture that first belief in the whole of the gospel. Put aside the things of the world that seek to drag you away from Christ. Come back to him in a real and totally committed way. Renew that first love, that first excitement. Stir up that gift within you. Remember that no one can know the comfort and power of the Christian faith until they know what that faith is and until they've believed it. But what is this faith? What is this truth? What is the message that I must believe? What it is that will change me and make me see everything in a different way and give me the power to be more than a conqueror over everything that's set against me. It's simple. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's God so loving the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's the message that tells you that you can be reconciled to God and begin to receive those blessings that God alone can give you. That's the gospel. That's the Christian message. We're told in Acts 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And that's it. That's the total secret to being more than a conqueror. That's the only way that anyone could successfully live in this challenging world, in this world that trusts in man and laughs at God. Take the gospel to heart. Believe the Christian message and put all of your trust in Jesus Christ. And then you'll be able to say, along with Paul, yet I'm not ashamed because I know in whom I've believed and I'm convinced that he's able to guard that which I've entrusted him to the day. Amen.